All right, let's open our Bibles back into 2 Peter. And tonight, I think, the Lord willing, we'll conclude this study. I pray that it's encouraged your heart. We left off in the third chapter in the ninth verse last week. And entering that third chapter, we saw that there were these ones that were doubting the coming of the Lord. They were starting to doubt that things were the same. They were becoming sleepy. And we noticed that these weren't just sinners, but these were ignorant, unbelieving Christians as well. That seemed to think that it was just some passing fancy, maybe just some fairy tale about Jesus coming. I've talked to Christians before, brothers and sisters, that were absolutely surprised and dumbfounded that I was looking for the coming of the Lord. That truly was the greatest thing that God has put upon my heart. And I'm so thankful. And again, thanks be to God for that, that they had looked at me as almost it was a kooky thing. Well, we understand that that's said in the Bible, but we believe there's a heaven, but you know, it takes death to get there. Well, I'm thankful, however, Christ is preached, but I want you to understand that there's just a little bit of that in that, because what His full purpose and meaning is that we're loving His appearing, as we're going to read tonight, that Brother Peter was looking or earnestly desiring His appearing, and that's where God has those that truly are in love with His Son, and that's what we're going to rejoice in this evening. And let's just go ahead and pick it up from verse 8, and I'll read there. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. I'm sure many of you have said that to people, say, where is your Lord? I say, well, at best He's been gone 2 days. Isn't that right? This is what He's saying here. And that, you understand, time is nothing to God. We understand that. We're talking Alpha Omega. We're talking beginning. Not the beginning, but just beginning. He just was. He just is. And my mind just left the room. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend. But I can believe that that's how great my God is. Hallelujah. And in that, we move to verse 9. And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, He is not slack concerning His promise. What a truth. What a comfort to know that God cannot lie. That the exceeding great and precious promises, they're ours, brothers and sisters. And God wants us to live and to thrive. And when He said that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, it is. It just is. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I know many times in my own life I felt, well, Lord, I don't sense all of these spiritual blessings. Where are they? Well, in faith, they're right there, son. Many a times I've just been so encouraged to, I'm in the arms of the Lord. But as that child that keeps wiggling around and wants to get out, now He'll never let you out of His arms. Don't you worry that. But it's, where am I looking? Get your eyes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into His face. And He's got you. Quit looking all around. Let's be infatuated with the glory of God. And that's found in one place. And that's found in His face. Praise God. We'll read that in His Word. But see, we see that we can praise Him is because He has promised us. And promised us so much. And the very height of all that He's promised us, brothers and sisters, is His love. His love. He's promised us His love. Unending, undying, unmeasurable. His love. Praise God. And in that, I just say, thank you, Lord, I've got it all. And in His love to me, it's long-suffering. It's never-ending. It's all-encompassing. It's completely encouraging. And the reason, brothers and sisters, that He hasn't appeared, as it's saying in this verse, it's not because God is a slacker. It's because He is full of grace and mercy. And is so long-suffering to all the sin that He is still calling out today to whomever will hear. And He is. Praise God. It's still the time of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're in the time of grace. Hallelujah. Wonderful grace and mercy. And the wonder of it all is it said here, brothers and sisters, is it's toward all men. And I can't fathom that. I really can't. He says here that he didn't want a one to perish. He died for the entire world, for every last vile sinner. And we're all in that group. Do you know that? There's none righteous, no, not one. Okay? Let's know that. And may God give us that same compassion one for another. But how about even another layer here in this? How about the long suffering for the wife who has made herself ready? See, I can see grace and mercy being bestowed to me tonight with His patience towards me, His all-encompassing love toward me, His nurturing of my own life, encouraging me to rise up. Come on, son, let's go away. See, that's the long-suffering Lord that I know. I would have given up on me a long time ago. But you know, as a patient man with a fickle wife-to-be, He just sits there and continues to court and to continue to be patient. And this is the greatest lover of all. And He's waiting there for us to say, Lord, I will go. And in this I see a God of all mercy and love, brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, if this doesn't really move us to love Him more, you know, God help us. I really think of when He says that not one would perish, His long suffering towards us, God help us to love Him more. All right, verse 10. But the day of the Lord, see, He's going to answer this now. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, the day of the Lord. And you know, the day of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is still a mystery to so many. And I think it's best explained with help from Revelation. So let's go over to the book of Revelation. And let's go to chapter 1 and verse 10. And let's talk about this day of the Lord. Now this is John speaking. And he's speaking how he is caught up into heaven. And he's there on the Lord's day. And he says, I was in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, this is John in spirit. And so exciting here, brothers and sisters, is he hears this loud voice as a trumpet. Now, this is the same voice that you read about in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Let's go over there and read that. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. We'll start reading from there. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There's that trump that he heard. Okay, this trump of God. Now when that happens, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, so we see that by the grace of God, when this trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and the living ones will be with Him. His readied wife will be caught up together with Him in the clouds. And brothers and sisters, this is the hour that ye think not. This is the thief in the night that we're talking about. So we see here that the Lord's day, which is so exciting to me, because I'm starting to hear this proposal more and more into my heart, is the Lord's day begins when He takes His wife. When He captures her away, when He calls her away to meet Him in the air, is the beginning of this day. And it continues on through the reign, through the millennium, because we know that that happens, because we see here that the Lord's day will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we see there that this happens at the end of the millennium. You'll find that in Revelation 21:1, which is the time when the heaven and earth shall pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So I'll tell you what, this is a long day. I mean, it's a long day, huh? Well, how could that be a day? Well, let's go back and read what he just said in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So I can have 1,000 years in 7, and I'll still say, you know what? To the Lord, it's just a day. Okay? And it's a precious day. And that's His day. And I'm so thankful that we're looking to His day. And by the grace of God, it's that rapture, the capturing of His bride, that's going to set the whole thing off. And I'm just so grateful to God that that's what He has in store for us. Now, you think about this, though. With that bride, she's not going to experience any of that furious judgment because she's going to be taken out of the way before the tribulation. And this new heaven and new earth, if you go back into Isaiah chapter 13:13-14, you'll read about it there, that the old earth and all of its works, and think about this, because it talks about all the works here. Remember when we'd read about the wood, the hay, and the stubble? All that, even too, it's all going to be burned up. It's all going to be gone. I just think how precious. And I don't know if many of you remember your science class as you're growing up there in junior high and even in high school, and how they'd teach you about the two most common elements in our atmosphere is hydrogen and oxygen. And they will tell you that those are the most flammable, combustible elements that there are. And you think that that's what we have the majority of. And then here's our Earth, and the crust of the earth is the only thing that's not molten lava, and it's just like the little, what, I think it's like 5, 10 miles down or whatever, most all the way around, and then the whole majority of this thing is molten lava with the most explosive gases that there could be. So you see, and I don't know if God's going to use it that way, but we've been sitting on a bomb the whole time. And it's about ready to go off, so it really wouldn't be hard to see that the elements could just melt in just a moment. I mean, you know, God set forth and unleashed this thing. You don't know what'll happen. I don't know how it's going to be. But I think it's also kind of funny to think, well, Lord, we're already sitting on a big bang anyways. How's that? All right. Okay, let's go to verse 11 and 12. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all of them. Notice that. What you see is not going to be here. Boy, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? That's just the temporal. God tells us, He encourages us all throughout the Word of God, get our eyes on the eternal. That's real. That's forever. The unseen things. That's what's forever, brothers and sisters. And God has made us that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His name, the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. What a wonder. All right. But He's saying, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So here He is, encouraging us, knowing that it's all going to be gone. Let's be looking for His soon coming. Let's be looking for His day. See, this is all about His day. And praise the Lord. That's what we're looking to, is His day. We're looking to Him. Praise His name. And see, we're not to set our hearts on this temporal flammable material, as we found out here. It's time to live godly. It's time to be sanctified. It's time to come unto Him without the camp. And I really am encouraged to stress that again this evening. Brothers and sisters, we have great fellowship here. And the Word of God tells us to come in the unity of the Spirit. And praise be to God for that. I'm thankful, and I guess the Lord was really speaking to me, as I'm so grateful to God that so many were lifting this situation in my body up to the Lord. But I don't have confidence in you. I don't need to send out all of these emails to the whole world to pray for me. I go to God. You go to God. And He hears you. And you need to settle down with that. And by the grace of God, you get into His presence. And He is your fellowship. He is the one that gives you your comfort. He is the one that is your confidant. He is the one that is your friend. He is the one that gives you everything. And as you satisfy yourself with Jesus, and Jesus alone, and I mean that. And Jesus alone. It's not predicated on who called me today, how many people saw me, what they gave me, and all these things. It's Him. It's Him. And we need to settle down in Him. All right. Living life looking for Him. living life looking for Him. Amen. Now, Peter's starting to sound a lot like sweet Paul, isn't he? It reminds you of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul said, "And to them also that love His appearing." Love His appearing. Looking for Him. Brother Peter is encouraged to use that word hasting. That means earnestly desiring. There's a yearning. This is a first love state of heart, brothers and sisters. It is. I want to see Him more than anything. I want to be with You, Jesus. Whether I'm living, whether I'm dying, I'm the Lord's. I'm with You. It's just Jesus and me. And notice here, he says it a second time at the end of this verse, that the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So again, he's saying, you know, come out of this stuff. Don't let this bind you. I think of, I guess, had my heart a little bit on the poor mankind here and how men were so bogged down with material things many times and how the world comes at us and says that basically our worth, our self-worth is in what positions we have in this world, how much money we have, material things. God help us. And you can see with this world, and I think it's a wonderful thing that's going on right now. It can be taken in a moment. They're going to be throwing all that stuff in the street. Do you see that? Don't hold on to that. Let go of it by the grace of God. He'll provide. He really will. He'll give you what you need. And by the grace of God, I pray that, you know what, He take away the things that were going to harm me. And I don't know. I listened to this sweet man that used to give us the word over and over all those times. And he'd tell me, sometimes the things that you think you'd be good for you be like giving a loaded gun to a baby. I think, ooh, that's an awful thought. Well, let me tell you something. It's a lot more awful thought thinking of things that the children of the King would have that would take their thoughts away from Him. This is a critical time, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming. I want to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Is it real or is it not? Do we believe the Word of God or are we just going to take bits and pieces for our life? I appreciate and thank the Lord for any part that you will take. But we've been called into the full counsel of God, brothers and sisters. He said that we would come into all the fullness of God. That we could stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. It's not parts and it's not some and it's not a maybe. He wants it all for our life by the grace of God. And He said, I'll give it to you if you'll just yield. God, increase my faith. And Lord, help me to decrease. Help me to see that my selfish wants, and that's the truth, are going to get in front of the things of God. They always will, and they'll always hold us back. So let's move on with Him. All right, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, thank God they're His promises. How many have we broken? Look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this is sweet because, see, the new heaven and the new earth is where our sweet Lord is going to rule and reign. And by the grace of God, we have been offered to rule and reign jointly with Him. So there is a wonderful offering to us. And I love that last phrase. I kind of lit a little of it out earlier. But it says there, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, brothers and sisters, that's you. If you know the Lord as Savior, He's made you righteous. And righteousness dwells there. And that's the righteousness of God, and praise the Lord is His saints, and will forever be with the Lord. And what a precious promise there. And verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now here we go again. He's using that word beloved. Much loved. Isn't that so sweet? I just, what a Pauline saint that Brother Peter is growing into. I don't want you to think, again, I know that his place is different. His offering was not the bride of Christ, but the love of God that is built into this brother. And I have to tell you, as the Lord was wrapping this up in my heart, he's had me thinking of Brother Daniel as well too. The things that he showed these brothers in Christ, and to think that they were opened up all of that glory to write, and the Holy Spirit wrote through them. And I know that by the grace of God, there were many things that they desired to look into. It was said of Daniel that he wanted to look into more of it. But the Lord said, that's not for you. And you know what? They were still satisfied and say, well, Lord, thy will be done. I'll bring this forward by your grace. I'll be a vessel. Isn't that wonderful? I think that speaks to me in so many ways, is, you know, even in my life, natural life. Now, Lord, spiritually, praise God, you're offering to me. I can have it all. There's nothing that you're withholding from us. But you know, brothers and sisters, in my life, he might not allow me to go this way. He might not allow me to do something that I thought that I was meant to do. Maybe even in the meeting. Maybe I thought I was here, you know, I've got this gift to do this and I've got a gift to do that. Let me tell you something. Those are his gifts. Did you know that? Those are his. And he gives them as he sees. But remember, they're his gifts. Isn't that wonderful? All right? So, you know, he'll take care of you. He'll take care of me. And I just want to give it to God and allow him to direct our lives. And it'll be much sweeter, brothers and sisters, when we settle down in that. But see, beloved, what it says here, that we're looking. We're loving this appearing. But he's encouraging us now to be diligent with it. And that word diligent, it means to endeavor. It means to stand and to stand with zeal. And that word endeavor, it means to endure hardness. All right. How about endure hardship? How about endure being wrongfully accused or despitefully used? All of those different things. We've talked about the diamond dust as well, too, many a time, brothers and sisters. But may we endure hardness as good soldiers that are on a quest, and a quest to let the grace of God abound in us. What do you think of that? See, the abounding grace of God is what's going to grow us up. Tell you, he brought me into an inner chamber, I told you, really, this last week. He said, son, I want to show you even something more. The vantage point of what God has for us, I just pray it grows and grows in our life, brothers and sisters. But you see, it's so that that grace of God abounds, that he would find in us peace. Look at that, what he's saying here. That we would be found of him in peace. And what does it say in the Word of God? It says, he will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Well, there's a real key and a real hint, and it's real straightforward. Get our minds on Jesus Christ. May we occupy our time with him. May we live in faith. May we yield. By the grace of God, may we live a Holy Spirit life. Fervency? Do we take time really to worship even? What do you think? Come on. I can't tell you how many times that I came to church. I knew that the Lord had given me the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful to God that I knew that the Lord is with me. But I want to yield to him. I want to praise him. I want this vessel, by the grace of God, to praise him with everything that is within me. And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we come to church and we think we've kind of checked in. And that's it. And I'm ready to hit the door and I'm gone. Or I check in and I'm just going to fellowship all the time. Now, I want you to worship in your home. Don't get me wrong. I want you to worship all the time. We need to draw nigh as to kiss our Lord in fervent love all the time. But we need to be a people that are about an altar. And I mean it. It's been on my heart. I've sensed the prayers in the meeting about people being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost in our lives. But then we need to be full of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. And I believe in my heart that a yielded heart, one that is truly on fire for the things of God and wants to be a vessel that the Lord is pouring that wonderful love into, is a life that is yielded. It's a life that's yielded upon an altar. And it's not afraid to come forward. And men, I'm speaking so directly to us that we would be free. that we wouldn't be inhibited to come and to kneel before Him and to praise the Lord with a loud voice. It'll do you good to cry. You're going to cry someday. Oh, praise God. You're going to cry out in just glory. I know that there's not going to be a tear in heaven, but I can imagine that it's going to be such a day. But I'm going to tell you, cry out to Him now. He wants you to. He wants you to just call out to Him. There's a tenderness, I believe, that God is still looking for in His people. To be long-suffering. And long-suffering is to come out of you. Do you know that? It really is. To come out of the comfortable. To say, Lord, I want to be what You want to make of me. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. I guess my heart's being pretty exposed tonight. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Let God use you. I hope He does. All right. But see, He says He keeps those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee, that the Lord would captivate my thoughts, that He would make heaven a more of a reality every day. And then it goes on to say, and without spot and blameless. And I'm telling you, the high calling message is all over this thing. And all I can't get off my heart, I think of Ephesians 5:27, where He talks about the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This is this correlation that's going on. The wonderful relationship of this high calling that's going on through the Scriptures. Separated and dedicated to God is what He's getting at here. She's perfect and she's ravishing in His sight. I think it's just full of good stuff. How about you? Really do. See, I'm thankful to God that, you know, don't pass up His Scripture. He said line upon line and those precepts and all of those things. Here a little, there a little. It will build upon itself because it's the Word of God. Don't overlook the things that He's bringing to you. I mean that. We need to pay attention. Praise God. All right, verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And what a statement here. That our Lord is so long-suffering. And God is so long-suffering with man because He's waiting, I know, for many to receive His Son. And I think of His Son so long-suffering that He became sin for us who knew no sin. And I have to take this very personally to me. I know He's long-suffering with me to accept His Son's hand in marriage. To be ready, to be the wife that has made herself ready. I know that I'm drawing breath upon this earth right now because He's still getting me ready. The Holy Spirit is still dealing with this life. I mean, there were thoughts, honestly, these last couple weeks. Well, Lord, am I ready? Am I ready to see You? Are we going to go this way? But you know, He encouraged my heart son, I think that there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more to do. But, you know, remember, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is as a day. But let me tell you something. The Lord can do a lot in a very short amount of time. And I know that you know that. And I know we're at a time when we're talking about growth spurts in our lives, brothers and sisters, like we've never seen before. And this is a God that so loves us that He's going to put us in pressure situations and in pressure cookers, if you want to say it that way, that really man has never seen before, because His coming draweth nigh. So just know that. But like I said, a dear brother, remember, He's not going to test you beyond what you can bear, really. He won't do that. And you're thinking, I know, Lord, this is beyond. But you know what? He knows you better than you do. Because He made you, He created you, He's given you that faith, and most importantly, He's given you the grace of God. And He'll take you through. It's wonderful. He will take you through. Praise His name. So, the Lord caused my heart also to look up this word long-suffering. Long-suffering is found in the New Testament 13 times. I hardly ever do this. This is just what the Lord had me look up. Maybe I had a little too much time that day. But I found out with that word long-suffering, it's found 13 times. 10 times in Paul's epistles and 3 times in Peter. I just thought that was very precious. And I think how fitting that these two brothers were called to write of so much of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Obviously, Paul living that life so much, but just how fitting. And then in this verse, I think, which is so mighty that needs to be noted as well too, brothers and sisters, look at what Peter calls Paul. This is Paul that rebuked Peter to his face. Yeah, he calls him beloved. Is that just awesome? Much loved, not just by me, but by everyone. We're embracing not just Paul, but we're embracing the love of God in Paul. And most importantly, we're embracing the message that was brought through Paul. And Peter's understanding this, and I think he calls him beloved. And I really got to thinking how, you know, somebody can take our parking place here at you know, coming into church, and you might not talk to him for a year. And here he was. And here he was, this one that I'm sure, you know, I don't know if Paul did it in private or whatever, but, you know, they wrote about it. So I don't know. But, you know, he boxed his ears good because it was over the things of God. And better are the wounds of the friend than the kisses of the enemy. And Paul loved him. Paul loved him as Christ loved Peter. That was the love of God that was coming forth. And he wanted him to have that perfect reward. And he knew going into that legality, and especially teaching those other brothers and sisters in Christ to try to be legal or to do something to be more approved to God, he knew that that was wickedness. All that Galatians is written all over that. Okay, so let's know that, brothers and sisters, that there was a meaning, there was a reason there. And then how wonderful he continues to write here of the testimony of Paul. And he notes that Paul wrote of Christ's long-suffering towards us. And then it's also insinuated there that those long-sufferings were magnified in Paul's own life. See, he didn't just speak of it, he lived it. He lived it. We have to be willing to live it. And he'll bring it. We're gonna rejoice on Sunday. There's a verse. I'm not going to give the verse out yet. But you've heard me say, when I said, Lord, I'll go, he heard you. He heard you. All right, 16 and 17. Let's keep going. As also in all his epistles, notice that, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, 16 and 17, it's getting right down to the mystery. This is the mystery he's speaking of here. Christ in me, the hope of glory mystery. And it wasn't just in some of Paul's writings. Isn't that wonderful? It was in all of them. From Romans to Hebrews, it was in all of them. Praise be to God. And I just think the revelation of the bride, how hidden it was from the sons of men, from the prophets, from the angels. But yet it's present with us. It's revealed. And I'm telling you, it's in abundance. Amen. It's in abundance. There's going to be a famine for the word of God. I believe it's here. It's coming. But this message is going to be preached to a time, and that time's not going to be anymore. And that bride's taken out. That time shall be no more. Oh my. All right. Not trying to scare you, but let's wake up. But now, don't let this verse also make us doubt. And I remember, and I guess I'm just speaking of my own self here, not of you all, but some things hard to be understood. Well, Lord, how come it's hard to be understood? Well, some things are hard to be understood. But see, in Matthew 19:12, he says here that he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Isn't that wonderful? He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Now I ask you something. Did you make yourself able? I hope I'm not seeing this. No, you did not make yourself able. He made you able. He drew your heart. He increased His love in you. He sent His Holy Spirit to you. By the grace of God, we yield. We say, Lord, I know it's You. I know I am Your workmanship. Praise God, He has made me able. So in that, I have faith. And I say, you know what, Lord? I'm able to receive it. I am able to receive it because of You and Your great love for me. I know it'll be on Your time. I know You'll bring it in Your way. And I know how I'm going to receive it is going to be different than how You're going to receive it. I know that the trials in my life that are specifically there for me to come from glory to glory to glory and from faith to faith to faith are going to be different than Yours. And You're going to look at me at certain times and you're going to say, well, why can't you get there? And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, oh, why can't you get there? And I hope we don't do that anymore and we just look up there and say, Lord, take us there. Amen. What do you think? Huh?
Hallelujah.
That's it. That's it. See, God is doing the work. And this is what He's saying. And have confidence in our Lord that He said, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. Now, if that's the will of God for you and you are willing to receive it, what could stop it? Nothing. Nothing. If we are willing, He will bring it. If we are yielding, you will receive it. It's just there. It's His promise. And He's not slack concerning His promise. And I don't want you worrying. And I don't want to worry. Lord, am I going to be ready? No, Lord, You're going to make me ready.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to be the wife that is ready by Your grace. By Your grace, I'm believing You, Lord. Not that I've already apprehended. I'm not going to let You try to put me in that corner because I'm going to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay. So let's stay with it. But He is the one that is able. And it's His very will that we would come to that ever-increasing knowledge of Him. Now, in this, brothers and sisters, notice, the ones that have trouble with this, now listen, the ones that have trouble with this are those that are ignorant to it. Those that have no desire to look into the deep things of God. They don't have a desire to look into it. It's God's will that they would look into it, but they don't have a desire to look into it. There are Christians that this message is foolishness to. I don't have time for it. I don't want that commitment to God. Well, at least you're being honest. But they're ignorant to it. You have made the choice that you do not want to go. You can either say, Lord, I will go. Or you can say, Lord, I'm not going to go. That's right. I don't want to go. I'm going to wait. And the ones that wait are going to be distracted. And the ones that are distracted, I'm going to tell you, He's going to come as a thief in the night. And you're going to miss it. And there's going to be a time of suffering, I'm going to tell you, like you couldn't even imagine. To know that this message was poured out to you. Say, Lord, get me ready. Let me be ready. Let me be looking for You. Let me be loving. Okay? But see, these ones have no desire to look into the deep things of God. I believe, I'll tell you what, you're in good standing being here on a Wednesday night. I think you're looking into the deep things of God. Praise the Lord. Satisfied they are with the childlike things. There's no thought of the deep things of marriage. Huh? Did you hear that? They're so childlike that they're unstable, it says here. That there's no standing, that they vacillate back and forth. Because their vision is not affixed on the mark for the prize. See, when we have our vision affixed on that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, we move into complete confidence. And I'm telling you, that rock, that standing that we have, there's no vacillating in that. It's just fixed on Him. They wrestle with Scripture. Remember, He says here, beware. Wake up. Don't wrestle with Scripture. You'll never win. Ask Jacob. Okay. That's right. Amen. But we don't wrestle with Scripture. We need to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're not going to take God on our own terms. This is God we're dealing with. He set it up and it's set in His Son. And that's what pleases Him. Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And that faith is in one thing. It's not in mankind. It's not in feeling good. It's not in doing food drives. Not. I'm thankful for all of those things in a sense. But it doesn't amount to anything in the sight of God. And actually could be absolute wickedness. Okay? But we need to understand that it's Him. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Word tells us, brothers and sisters, and it will take us down, and notice it's to their own destruction. And the ultimate warning of this whole verse here is your steadfastness. That's the biggest one right there. Your steadfastness. Your ability. Your thinking. Your knowledge. That somehow you caused or cause yourself to be holy and acceptable to God. And that attitude, brothers and sisters, will rob us every single time. That steals from us. It does. God forbid that we would get haughty in what the Lord has given us. There's a difference in confidence in Him and confidence in my knowledge. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in saying, I'm trusting God. And I'm believing God, as opposed to, Lord, send your grace. Cause me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thy will be done. Yeah. Big difference, brothers and sisters. Big difference. So in that, the fall could even be the falling away of the first love. Our dirty self-righteousness, brothers and sisters, could cause that crown to just slip right through our hands. And God forbid that would ever happen. But I'm thankful He doesn't end it in verse 17, aren't you? Amen. His grace is sufficient, and He gave us a verse 18. Hallelujah. And here's the answer to complete victory. And we'll close. But grow in grace. Are you listening? Grow in grace. Marvelous grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is a sweet verse. It's the last time in the Word of God that you'll read the word grow. I think that's very fitting in a lot of ways. This sweet Peter was so blessed to bring in this increase in mature message to become greater in grace. God's undeserved gift, brothers and sisters, of exceeding abundant love that gives us all sufficiency in all things. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. And then you'll notice that word knowledge. That's a special word, knowledge. That knowledge means ever growing. It means increasing, enlarged, an ever growing knowledge. And so fitting that ever growing knowledge is always in one thing. It's in Christ Jesus. And that Christ Jesus is the grace of God. So I look at this verse, brothers and sisters, and I believe that it's telling me to grow in the grace knowledge. That grace is the very power of God. That the word of His grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance. A completely sanctified reward. That grace allows us to know Him in every way. Every way. In the fellowship of His sufferings, as my healer, as my strength, as my hope. How about my shield, my buckler, my high tower? How about my thought afar off? How about my everything? And how about really my soon coming bridegroom by grace? 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now that word abound means super abundantly abound, not just abound. This is an exceeding abundantly abound. And brothers and sisters, this grace is the provision that unlocks all the mysteries of God. And it's in that grace that you can finally utter that last sentence that Brother Peter utters, which I believe is so sweet. To Him be glory both now and forever. The highest of praise. Praising Him, I believe Brother Peter came to the point that he knew that he was fully able to keep that which he'd committed unto him against that day. Being confident of the very thing that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I hope this has blessed you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again in the wondrous name of Jesus for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we thank You for this time that we can come and just worship You. Lord, let us just think on these things. Help these words to just pierce our hearts, God. Lord, there may be ones that have heard this tonight, and I know that, Lord, You've called precious hearts here this evening. These are children of the King, the aristocracy of forever. But Lord, there might be some that are not feeling something tonight. Lord, all I ask is let them feel You. And Lord, fill them with the fullness of God. Lord, let them know that You're not slack concerning Your promise. It might be a desert that it might seem, but Lord, let me tell You something. There's springs all about us. Help us to rise up. Help us to get, as that dear brother told me today, oh, get your face out of the dirt. Rise up. Rise up. Look at me. I thank You, Lord, for everything. And we do. We just praise You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.